I'm going to call to order the January 12th meeting of the Tacoma Arts Commission. Thank you all for being here after a festive season. Chair Meyer, or Vice Chair Meyer, did you want to do the agenda?
Yeah, the agenda. Okay, the excused absences are Mike Sweeney and Wanda Thompson. And has everyone had a chance to check out the agenda or the minutes from previous?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so any motion to approve?
So moved.
All right.
I'll second.
Terrific.
We actually have an amendment to the agenda this evening, so if we could also have a friendly amendment to the motion. Our presenter this evening is not able to talk about Tacoma 2025 until next month.
I so move that we meet with him next month.
Or Sarah can.
Oh, sure.
I so move that we have the presentation at our February meeting.
Thank you. And Scott, you're second. Still second. There we go. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. So I don't have a whole big chair's report. I haven't attended much so far in January. It's been a quiet month. I did go to the Prairie Lane meeting at TAM and see the presentation for the true to life version, I guess, of the plans for the Prairie Lane Trail down by the Art Museum across in between the United Way building and Hood Street. They were successful in getting some of the property that they were looking for from BNSF, and they have moved forward with planning, and it looks quite nice. The phase one that they're discussing includes the portion by the Art Museum and then that little curvy J that is sort of 15th-ish into Dock Street. And that part is not as visually stimulating. So there were some concerns brought up, and those will be explored. But the part by the Art Museum was quite nicely done, and clearly some suggestions from the public were taken into account. So that was nice to see. And that's really all I have for Chair's report, and we can move on to staff check-in.
Do you want to have
our new question? Oh, yes. Sorry. I have too much handwriting over it. So we do have three new commissioners tonight that we want to welcome. Thank you. A few of you made it to our December social and got to meet a little bit there. But I want to welcome Heather Conklin and Kareem Candy and Lynn Woolman Stenham. Thank you for coming this evening, and thank you for joining us on the Arts Commission for the City of Tacoma. And I would like to go around the table just so everybody gets a chance to kind of see where we're coming from in our experience with the Arts Commission. My name is Tracy Kelly. I'm the chair of the Arts Commission. I work for Safe Streets, which is a community organizing nonprofit here in town. But I do also have a master's in sculpture, so I'm mainly a visual arts expert.
I'm Dane Meyer, and I'm a commercial photographer, and I've been on the Art Commission for a term and a half, I suppose.
I'm Matt Hudgens. I'm a student at the University of Puget Sound, in my second or third year now on the Arts Commission, and I have worked in arts administration.
Heather Conklin, and I teach high school at Lincoln High School in Tacoma. I teach art.
So. My name is Joel Chang, and I work for the state.
My name is Scott Campbell. I'm the co-founder of Tacoma Youth Theater and also work at Annie Wright Schools in their theater department.
My name is Kareem, and I do a musician, a lot of performing and teaching. Tacoma School of the Arts, Ted Brown Music, Pierce College, and a lot of performing and writing. And I have no idea what I'm doing, but I'll listen and pay attention and hopefully learn fast.
I'm Don Lackey. I believe this is the start of my seventh year on the commission, and I am a college instructor. At the present time, I'm teaching chemistry for Highline Community College.
Chemistry? Oh.
Well, yeah. I've done math and chemistry and physics over the years. So.
My name is Lynn Wilmot-Tindrum. I dance professionally for over 20 years and currently the Director of Arts for the YMCA of the Pearson Kitts Subconscious.
I'm Katrina Toft. I have an art-based business where we make sculptures and various public art items, so I consider myself an expert in visual arts and a specialist in that way.
I'm Sarah Edstrom. I'm Senior Director of Development at Frank Toby Jones, which is a retirement community in the north end of Tacoma. I've been on the Arts Commission for a while, I'm thinking getting on for 10 years maybe. And I also help out with Arts Fund too. They distribute money in King and Pierce County. So I'm not an artist. I wish I was, but that talent didn't come my way, so I'm a supporter.
My name is Marty Campbell. I serve on Tacoma City Council. I'm actually alternate to the Arts Commission here. Normally David Bowe would be here, but he is out of town tonight. Before serving on City Council, I owned a video store, Stadium Video, here in town, Buzzard CDs. And for those who knew Stadium Video know that I really celebrated that film is art 24 times per second. And that really got me interested in really supporting all arts. And so since being on council, I like to think I've been a good supporter of the arts and trying to bring that forward.
Absolutely. Thanks for being here, everybody. So for the newest of the new, just know the people who were new before you, you're veterans already. It's almost half the commission is pretty new. So I appreciate the new and the veterans.
The new and the old.
Because all of your time and expertise is very valuable. And you'll find that it's an easy group. We're here to work together and make some good stuff happen. So no reason to be nervous. And we'll have a chance a little bit later when we talk about the retreat to kind of brainstorm of some things that people want to learn and know about. You know, maybe at the retreat all throughout the year if you want, you know, knowledge to be dropped on and how you can figure out how to do that. So welcome, everybody. So I'm Amy. I'm the arts administrator, as you know. Normally Naomi's here, and we staff this fine commission and do our best to implement policies and whatnot that we come up to both together. It has been the holidays, so I'm mostly trying to get my head around the coming year, get some stuff cleaned up, and get the cobwebs pushed out for room for new stuff. But there has been some things moving. So for those of you who aren't aware, the Tacoma Artist Initiative Program that is on the streets right now, the deadline is January 26th. Naomi and I gave a workshop end of December or whatever, and had some good attendance, and we're getting some good questions and stuff coming in, and we'd like to help folks get their best application we can, so we're working on that. It's also the deadline for anchor funds, so those are for the larger arts organizations. And everybody, if you should be all signed up for whatever review committee you signed up for, and we have all the community members lined up for those, etc. I can't remember when those happened, but...
Review? Or selection?
Of the selection for the grant.
Okay.
The other thing that is on the streets right now, and I want to continue to solicit your help to solicit other people to fill out the survey, is the Creative Space Tacoma effort. I have these as a hard copy, but this is, we're trying to do a needs assessment for artists and creatives' need for space. So live workspace is one part, but also just what do people need in this community to continue to do what they do. Is it performing space? Is it personal space to do your own work? Is it, you know, black box theater? Is it, you know, all the different ways that artists and creatives participate in the community? This survey is trying to ask what that looks like, what people can afford, so we can both keep what's already there, but also help developers as they come online know that there's a need, if indeed there is one, which I believe there is, but it's good to have hard, fast figures to say, hey, if you come to our community and want to build this, or if you're in our community and want to build this type of project, we can show you that there are people that are needing this or wanting it. I'm going to pass a few of these around just as a hard copy, but the website is creativespacetacoma.org. And one project we're moving on, at least do a feasibility study.
Getting used to the new real estate here.
That's my normal thing. I do that all the time.
There's a project we're doing a feasibility study on in partnership. Well, we've hired BLRB architects to look at the old McKinley substation, which has been a surplus city property for, it's been empty for about 5 years. That's on my mind. It's right across the street from Top of Tacoma. I don't know how many of you get over there, but it's been on the market for a while. And, you know, we just wanted the chance to see what it could look like if an artist of work project / creative retail space sort of thing was built up there. So what's happening is they're going to be coming up with a plan, like what would be the best mix, you know, how would, you know, how affordable would the units be, how, what sort of, how many would there be, what, you know, what would it look like, you know, just to create something that, that we could even respond to say, yeah, that kind of a project would really make sense in that neighborhood. Our goal is to have something that really is catalytic, that really adds to a neighborhood and makes a shift. And I don't know about you, I don't mean to put you on the spot, Marty, but I haven't seen anything else come through that property that, that does that, so I thought if we could at least take a stab at looking at a project we've been talking about trying to do forever.
No, I think
it might be a good place to start.
I think you're right. We've had some restaurants look at it, but it just, it's so far no one who's been interested enough to step up and take it on. The building has some issues with it that would have to get mitigated, but I think it'd be in an area where you're seeing a lot of tremendous growth and potential.
So. Yeah, I'm pretty excited about it, and it's a project that really needs a responsible survey also. So I know we've done surveys before, but we haven't had anything even close to a project at the end to for people to even count on.
How many responses have we had?
It's not bad. We the first push we have 183,
great.
But we have a big hole with musicians and a big hole with youth and people of color and all the people that represent Tacoma. So it's got to be pushed out deeper, wider, more broadly to make sure that we're really representing our community.
Is it being advertised on TV Tacoma or Channel 12?
I think we've done some of that, but I'm going to work with our CMOs. I just contacted them to say time for push number two. I've sent personal messages to people I know in the community to have feelers and stuff to try to get it out.
I took it because going to the thing and was it seemed to help the total effort just to fill it out, even if there was any value personally. And I'm not. It's hard to sell filling it out to people that don't have an obvious need for space.
Right.
And I have need for space, but I've got it covered personally. And anyway.
Yeah, and how and it is a survey. It's not fun, you know. I mean, it's not people that love filling them out. And maybe you know some of the people I'm hoping to target maybe have never done one before in their lives. So I mean,
Is it of use to people that may have space to rent? Like, for instance, there was one person that responded on Facebook to my posting it. She's a minister in a Unitarian church, and so is it appropriate? I mean, they might have space that they're not using during the week that would be available.
It'd be appropriate for them to tell me that because then I can share that with people who are looking for space.
Does that, it seemed like there were some questions in the survey that would give that information to you. Is that true?
I don't know.
Because that would be another selling point if people have space that they would like to.
Right. I don't think that's part of the survey as it's written now, but I mean, part of our goal in sort of calling this creative space to come and sort of making a bigger box for it is to start that conversation happening more thoroughly. Do people have space? What, you know, what is the need? Where is activity happening in neighborhoods that we want to make sure we keep, you know? I mean, I just don't want to, I want to be aware of where this vibrancy and authentic creative energy is, keep it and also grow it more. So I know Seattle did a big, you know, and they're different than we are, and I don't want to compare it to them, but they did do a comprehensive thing of where are are the creative activities happening? Where are they getting pushed out? You know, what do we have to, where do we have to, they have a different issue than we do. Where do we have to, like, secure it and make sure it stays here?
Mm-hmm.
But we have, we're in the position to say we as a community can develop with the mindset that creative space is important to all of our neighborhoods and make sure that we're, you know, valuing it and making sure that it's, you know, seen as an important resource and people that do it are being taken care of. That's my philosophy. I know it's kind of a hard sell because it is a sort of onerous thing to plod through, but, you know, sometimes if you just know people and you can say, hey, you know, pull this thing out. It's mostly, frankly, it's a lot of owners already. It's very, it's older white people who own stuff already. They're filling it out. That's not.
But that's what we have in Tacoma. As far as ownership.
Right, but we're looking to develop places for people to that need space, that want to go into some place. And we want to be able, I think, having key ones that are affordable for artists is one of my personal goals to push forward to. I know it's a dirty word in some circles, but
I know one of Arts Fund's big push right now has been to create and enhance diversity. How can that happen?
Mm-hmm.
How can that happen? Not just in the arts, but, you know, of course they're focusing on the arts, but how can we develop diversity in our town,
mm-hmm.
promote it?
Absolutely. And with the initiatives that the city's pushing forward to, it's imperative. And it needs to reflect our community as a community is. So.
Well, it seems like what you're talking about in terms of the approach of these art spaces being in all the different communities, that's going to promote diversity. If you have the Seattle mode, not that I want to criticize what they're doing, but if it's aimed at a particular area, then that's not going to promote as much diversity as putting it in every neighborhood. Like, I just think of Spaceworks in the Hilltop area and how Kenji is this thing? And that group and lots of different things flourished out of that. So.
Yeah, and identifying where things are already happening and celebrating those, like in the community centers, there's all kinds of amazing things, even in churches, and, you know, where are the pockets that people are making art, even things we don't necessarily think of as the traditional arts, but really everything, the way people are expressing themselves, where they're doing it, and what those needs are. So that's a big philosophical picture, but that's the lens through which I'm trying to get us at some point with thinking about our community and how people create our work. So there's that. I am delighted to say we're going to bring Rebecca Salverson back on contract to help with public art. Stole it back from the state.
Well done.
Sorry, Mike Sweeney.
He's missing.
Yeah, I know. So we were here ready to say we also, I think I mentioned earlier, the Metro Parks officially passed a percent for art ordinance that will contribute 1% of their bond funds to the creation of public art, and we're going to be working with them on contract to help them develop their public art program and their public art plan.
Will that include, like, maintenance plan for their public art?
Yes.
Okay.
So Rebecca's managing that?
Well, she'll be definitely working with me to do that. I'll be doing some of the heavy lifting on the front end of it. But yeah, I couldn't do it if we didn't have more staff support. So she'll be doing that, but she'll also be helping with other public art for our program too. So we have some consulting contracts with Sound Transit and some other money coming in to help support it. So I'm looking forward to the assistance with that, and she'll be great.
Great.
I'm thinking that Metro Parks coming forward with this finally is huge, and it's really exciting. They do really great work always, and they're very artful in their park development. But public art is an additional piece. You know, to say we are going to focus and then make sure that we're including artists in our projects is huge, and I think it'll help us regionally. To continue to grow as a public art producers and artists having jobs working in public art and all those things we've been working on. I'm also looking this year, one of my goals is to help shore up our public art program as we sort of look at theirs. It's a good time to review our policies and make sure that we're, you know, continuing with best practices and things like that. But, you know, I think it's really, really exciting. And speaking of Sound Transit, I do consulting with them too. And their project that's going down on Pacific and South Tacoma Way, the D2M, artists Sean Orlando and Dave Schulman are regrouping. They came back with, they came to the commission last year, and they're proposing this giant sculpture sort of right in the corner. If you're facing downtown to the left, and it references bridge structures, but looks like a big octopus sort of coming out of the ground. And they took a lot of your comments to heart, and they're making it less spider-like and more octopus-like. There were some concerns that it was too pokey or pointy, it looks like a spider. So they're working on that, and we're massaging their timeline. They were going to try to have it installed by June. That might be too soon, but it will happen this year, so that you can see that again. Not sure where James Sinding's project is standing. I think he has some budget issues he's trying to get in. He's one of our public art depth. I know this isn't, it'll sink in. But one of our local artists is working on a project with Sound Transit, and it's been held up because apparently his vision was bigger than the budget can hold. So they're working with him to help him bring that back. But I hope to see both of those projects realized this year. And the last public art in depth project we're waiting on is Ed's from Two Ravens. I'm looking at Katrina, because that's her studio and partner. But pretty exciting news, I'll say it, just because. But he was originally going to do the sculptures in aluminum, but he's decided to do them in bronze. So they'll just be spectacular. They're these beautiful buoy-based forms with these creatures, all these sea creatures just encrusted in them, almost like they're coming to life. They're just beautiful, and we're looking to install that in the spring. What do we say, April, May, June?
Yeah, probably May, June.
Of this year?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh!
Yeah, they're all almost all sculpted and just in the middle of the eight. So that will complete all of the official public art in depth people. Not to say there might not be other opportunities, but it's pretty cool. We will do a dedication this year with Yuki Nakamura's piece at the Tacoma Housing Authority in conjunction with the piece that Jennifer and Diane did for THA that we managed for them. So that's made a nice little pocket over there. It's kind of cool. Let's see, what else is going on? Cultural Access Law. I wanted to bring that to top of mind again. We've talked about it before, and I'm supposed to learn more about it tomorrow morning, and I'll see if it makes sense for them to come and present to you guys. I think it will be either whoever their staff person is or whoever the local contact is. David Fisher probably presented on it last. But what that is, it's this initiative based on a taxing method they did in Denver originally, and then Minneapolis did a similar thing, where they have a multi-county region that has some weight, sales tax or property tax, they do some kind of a tax for the whole county, and then they have a big chunk of money that goes towards arts and parks and science sometimes. In Minneapolis, they combined, I think they did like environmental services, hunting and recreation and arts, something like that, and they distribute the funding through a formula that just stabilizes the arts organizations with a focus towards education. So people who live in that area can attend for free. It pays for buses to get kids from schools to go to the institutions. And the institutions can count on a significant chunk of funding and not have to scramble for it every year. It's pretty amazing. And it's been very successful in these other communities. It's been voted in over and over in Denver. I think they extended it statewide this time. Before it was just a four-county area. But it all comes back to our own county and what kind of even method for gathering any more money even exists. So will there ever be a chance to raise the sales tax in Tacoma or the Pierce County? Or is there some other way to do that? I don't know.
I only shake my head because Pierce County wouldn't even do 0.1% to address mental health issues.
Exactly. We have to rely on that.
If they won't address mental health issues, right now I don't think the county council would go for it. That's just more of a commentary on the Pierce County Council.
And it's very worrisome. And I think one of the things they're looking at is making it so that it doesn't rely on the county council to make this move forward. So anyway, I don't know any more about it than what I used to know, which I don't know what's been updated. I'm going to learn more tomorrow. But I think it's an issue. If there's anything we can do to increase the pool of funding for the arts, I say we look at it. So I would love for all of us to be more educated about that and see what it's going to be. Yes, that's what all of us say. That's all I have. Also, I wanted to say the Vision 2025 plan that Andy was going to speak about tonight will be presented in its entirety tomorrow during study session right here in this room at noon. So if you want to see that, you're more than welcome to attend. Otherwise, Andy will be back on February 9th, and he'll focus on the arts and cultural vitality piece.
How long is that expected to run, that study session?
I never know with study sessions. They can be an hour, and they can be 3 hours. They're generally 1 to 2 hours.
So. Any questions on anything that I've gone on and on about yet?
Okay. Oh, well, no, nothing.
So I guess it's me again, segueing into, which I could have put in my statement before, I suppose, but did we even report, had the presentation to the EDC, had that happened at the last meeting?
No, it was the day before, I believe.
Yeah,
that's
it was
right,
the day before.
Tuesday. Okay, so at the December 9th EDC meeting, Kim Bedier and Matt Falk, the operations manager, presented to Marty's committee, the Economic Development Committee, on the results of the decal on the Tacoma Dam. I gave a bit of a briefing on it from what I knew at the time, but basically, the decal's been up there for 6 months. It's worn well. Their concerns were more about dirt buildup, and they recommended a biannual cleaning of $150,000 a pop. And
it's a 5-acre canvas.
Yes, it costs $150,000 to clean the roof, so it's not a.
It's not an easy job to do.
Right. And I think it was a great conversation because I'm just trying to think of how far to back up. We, the city, in order to even move forward on this, have to go to the Warhol Foundation with a proposal that says we would like to use Andy Warhol's original 1982 proposal to put a flower on the Tacoma Dome. This is how we plan to do it. This is the material we'd like to use. This is how much we think it's going to cost. This is how we're going to raise the money. This is our maintenance plan, et cetera, et cetera. And what that committee ultimately did, thank you, Marty, was to request that a resolution come forward to the full council asking to be allowed to submit the proposal to the city's permission to use the time. So that's the end goal, but we need to be able to approach the foundation with that maintenance concern in mind. I mean, we don't want to be going forward and put something on the dome that looks terrible and not be able to be responsive to that. And I doubt the Warhol Foundation wants that too. They don't want, you know, this piece to look grungy after a short amount of time. So I think that it was good to get that out and understand that that would be an impact, and to be able to say, yeah, we'll have to fold that into the fundraising costs, because all of the money will have to be privately fundraised, and the Greater Tacoma Community Foundation has come forward and is willing to set up a fund. They've even seeded it with $10,000 to start, and as, yeah, they'll trigger it as soon as the council gets the approval to move forward with the proposal. So this majority of the decal is still on the roof. There's still some diagnostic work that can be done, like will it degrade over time if we scrub it, you know, different things like that. But I'm working with Kim Bedeer, who's the director of public facilities, to submit that resolution to council. My role is just to give her the background of what's happened to date and, you know, whatever information I have. And she'll, of course, add the perspective of what the dome needs and, you know, how we work together to make this happen. Did you have anything you wanted to add, Councilmember Campbell?
I did. Thank you. And thank you for your work on it. Yes, I know we've been working on this for about 5 years that I've been on council. It's something that I remember coming up. Many remember the suitcase sightings art installation that we did around town. My suitcase that I entered actually had the Warhol flower done in several repeating patterns, much like Warhol would do his own.
Do you have it?
No, I don't have it. We gave the suitcase away. I got pictures of it somewhere. Okay. Bev Vogel helped me do it, but it was kind of a take on Warhol with Warhol flower. I could print things and paste. That's as good of art as I can do. So I think it's something that's great, and I'm happy to bring it forward. Over the last couple of years, we bring it forward, like, well, we need to think about this. We need to do it. So it's not, I'll say this, and one thing that surprises me the most is the amount of pushback that we get on this. Mm-hmm. And I understand people come out, oh, a big cost to the city, or you need to fix up the inside first, but we're looking at independent outside fundraising, and it's going to be a 5-acre art installation. It's going to be huge. A lot of people in Tacoma identify with it. If it's something we move forward with, we're going to need every advocate out there talking it up, talking about how great it is. I am on council, I think we got unanimous support, but out in the community, anything I post up on social media just gets, I'm just surprised. I think that's where I think you guys can be the biggest help, is just being that buzz out there in the community that you, I don't think people realize how cool this will make Tacoma. Mm-hmm.
Marty.
This will be international.
Don't mean to interrupt. I thought you were done.
No, please.
I was kind of reserved about it because of the cost, and even if we're outside funding, okay, that makes it easier. But when Stephanie was here and talked about the relative numbers of what a small Warhol goes for, $100 million or $300 million, it was like, okay, I was looking at the wrong set of, you know, the wrong column of zeros or something. And it seems to me that it might be helpful in a push, even if it's Facebook or anything, if we have Stephanie, who seems, you know, she knows the art, she knows all those numbers, has a blurb that we could get her to say, and then we could share that post, or if it's on TV Tacoma, we could share that post and people could see it. And it's impressive. It changes minds quickly when you're...
And Stephanie's been a tremendous supporter of this. And really it was the installation that they brought of Warhol here to Tacoma that reignited it and gave the conversation of it credibility again. You know, buzz has always been out there ever since it was rejected. Oh, we should do that. Her bringing that installation here that they showed at TAM really allowed to bring people who were supporters in and showed them. And so she's actually, I think, got some first names and I think would be very willing to help.
In the fundraising.
In the fundraising campaign, but also the local promotional campaign.
Good.
I think she'd be very willing to help be out front. I don't know who would want to be the front person. So before we can even have a lot of that discussion, the council has to say, yes, we'll allow it to be installed. And that's been the big hiccup, is we can talk all day about it, but if the council hasn't given permission for the canvas to be used, you know, and then with the U.S. Open coming up, oh, we want a golf ball up there. You know, and so we had to go through about a year of waiting to see if any golf company. And then now everyone, it should be a hubcap because next one may should be that. Finally, I'm just saying, okay, look, it's going to cost about $3 million. You put up $3 million, we can do that. You know. The other pushback I get, it should be a local artist. Okay, I can agree with that to a point. We got Andy Warhol.
I think
and that's where you balance to, Yeah, Andy Warhol, I mean.
Yeah, I think you would get more support from some of the local artists if they could understand how this would benefit them. I don't know how, what angle that would be from, but I think that the pushback that I've gotten from local artists is, why isn't a local artist chosen up there? And I tried to explain the significance, and some of it sank in, but I think if more could be explained, and again, the person from the TAM really, you know, she's very well spoken about it.
A giant thumbtack is put on the world globe that says Tacoma is a place for art.
The city that values
something
art.
Something on the dome, it's about putting the world's largest Warhol that no other community can do.
Yeah.
You know, and raising, being able to raise the money to do it because it's a Warhol, not a whatever else. Right. You know what I mean?
And if we had the money locally, sure, I'd love to have it be local art. You know, I'd love the collector supporter, Sean Peterson. I'd love to see a full native pattern out there. Mm. That'd be great. That'd be gorgeous. That'd be contextual. But A, we don't have that money, that pot of money. B, Andy Warhol. Internationally known, there's only, as I read this somewhere, there's only one museum in America solely dedicated to a single artist, and that's the Andy Warhol Museum. And the other museum is...
Okay.
What's that? I read it somewhere.
Okay.
But Warhol's the only one. It was probably on the internet, so it must be.
The foundation just distributed a bunch of his collections, so there was an article in the LA Times and the New York Times just recently about his work getting out there, so there's a new buzz around it. And you know, and the thing is, too, this is temporary. It's 3 to 5 years. Who knows what will happen to the future of the dome after that time, rehabbing it, refurbishing it. But if we had an opportunity for a marketing piece this global, show me what it is.
Mm-hmm. With a ready-to-go funding base.
Yeah.
That will bring people in. And the other thing is, and it's just with the way Google Earth is now, it'll show up on all the mapping programs once they all recycle. And then consider we're under the flight paths for SeaTac, so people literally flying in and out of the region, depending on if they're coming in over that flight pattern that day, they'll see.
Pilots will probably bank.
Down below, to your right is Mount Rainier, but... You've got your left, and you've got the world's largest wall.
Will it be a nighttime viewing?
I don't know that we would.
Is it now? Is it lit now?
I'm just curious. I mean, is it going to be a daytime viewing, or will there also be a nighttime? When you're flying over in the night, can you see?
It seems...
There's a lot of ambient light in that area.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, surprisingly, because of the freeways and the parking lots, it's... There's a lot of ambient. I don't know if we would want to try to intentionally light it at night, just because the cost of intentional, but ambient-wise, the port there, it's actually surprising how much it lights up and flies on top. And so, no, I think it's just... Yeah. And you talk about, okay, yeah, it's temporary installation, 3-5, you know, maybe even stretches 6-7 years. So that gets the conversation. If that's that installation, what's the next installation?
That's what I told Elise.
We just made it a viable canvas.
Mm-hmm.
And if we only do it for 3 years, then it allows the community to take risks. Their fear is that, well, that's been up there 25 years. Whatever we stick up there is going to be up 25 years. Well, I'm like, well, now if we suddenly every 3 to 5 years rotate it, people will take a lot more risk and be a lot more tolerant with what goes up there because it won't have that sense of permanency. And if we can trade that out every 3 to 5 years with new art, as much as wouldn't mind having a Warhol there all the time. That says a lot about how this city embraces art.
Marty?
Yes.
This is my own selfish idea.
Fair enough.
I don't know if you were here last time when we talked about fundraising, but my idea was to allow the general public to buy a certificate stating they own part of a Warhol on the dome. And then after 3 or 5 years when it was taken down, they could trade in their certificate for a piece of the transfer that was put on top.
It won't be an original piece of an original Warhol.
Well, but it's still a piece.
Well, it'd be a reproduction of a Warhol.
Piece of history.
And I would want one. I would put my money down for a piece of it.
1x1 squares?
Yeah.
Already in the hopper.
Writing it will come up in full sheets, right?
Well, you got 5 acres. You'll be able to find enough 1x1 squares out of it.
One by one foot?
Well, I don't know.
I got to figure out how that's going to be.
I mean, you would have more than enough. Well, I wouldn't want, because there's big white spots. I wouldn't want, here's your big white spot. you're going to have certain pieces. Right. That, yeah. You're going to want something that's got at least edges.
Contrast.
Or something. Yeah.
Holy cow.
It could have been any cutout square inches.
Yeah, that would be the hard bit if you just ended up with white, yellow, red, you know.
Yeah, so you actually wouldn't be able to sell all of it, but you'd be able to sell where there's contrasting lines and things like mm-hmm. that. Leave it up to the fundraising committee to say, you know, 2x2 square and that, if possible. And so
plus, you can include a map of where your piece was on the whole thing, maybe.
That would be a lot of work.
Dreaming.
Well, good ideas, everybody.
Why was everybody square off this point? It just was. Trust me.
Yeah.
Could I ask a background question?
Of course.
Why? What caused it to fail the first time around when it was first suggested?
It was one of several proposals for art for the Tacoma Dome, and Stephen Antonakis was selected. He's a neon artist, so there's neon inside. We originally proposed to put it on the roof to make it the world's largest neon sculpture, but the roof manufacturer refused to insure the roof with anything on it, and so it tailspinned. And I'll send you my YouTube presentation because you can learn all about it.
Oh, yeah, you should send that out to the whole Arts Commission. I think it would be
and it was met with a lot of dislike in the community, as I understand. Because it was probably, if you think about it, neon was probably even more radical than even Warhol at the time. But so then the backlash became they picked one of the most conservative designs.
There's a good PDF article that talks about that too, that talks about the history of their involvement from coming out of there and everything that I found really helpful.
What PDF then?
It was an article, I'll have to dig it up, but it was all about, like, because I was interested in this history, because our business is right by the Tacoma Dome,
right.
And it was about, like, what happened, why there was a big hubbub, and actually it affected public art tremendously.
Yeah, Kilmer Percent for Art Program.
Yeah, I've never heard of that, and I was just like, oh, wow.
It was this huge wound in our creative history. I think that, you know, it's like a reconciliation project. And to really mark Tacoma as an art center. I mean, it's like nobody will be able to drive by I-5 and not notice that, you know, there's something here. And I think that raises the visibility for all artists that are in this town. It's saying, hey, we're a community who's committed to the arts, and it's just more of a capstone to show that. You know, it wouldn't be valid if it was the only thing we did, but it's not. It's sort of a culmination of all the amazing transformation that's been happening based on the art. Maybe it didn't make sense. I mean, thank God Warhol didn't get chosen in the 80s because he would have been skewered and, you know, would have been horrifying because if they did to him what they did to his knockers, it would be on the map a lot.
In a different way.
So I think it's kind of very poetic that it's possible now at the time when it makes the most sense. We'll see. And then I'll tell you a little anecdote. We've been saying all along, we're confident we can raise money out of the community, you know. But then, I think I forwarded this to you, Marty. Stephanie Stevish got an email from the Eric Scheiner, who runs the Warhol Museum of Pittsburgh. And he'd gotten an email from somebody named Robert DuPont saying, how do I make this happen? Let's do this. How can I help? And Stephanie says, well, who's Robert DuPont? He says, well, he's one of the Warhol kids back in the day. He and his twin brother would go around acting like they're part of the DuPont fortune. But basically, he knew Warhol, was part of his entourage, knows however many remaining people that are from that entourage, and is like saying, hey, this is awesome, how can I help? So I was like, oh my God, people might actually, you know, do this. So I was just validated to see excitement from people that close to the man himself wanting to potentially come forward. So anyway, but we can't do anything until we get the go ahead and give the Warhol Foundation a reasonable proposal and kind of started. You know, if we don't raise the money, it won't happen. So.
Okay.
So does the city council want anything further from us before a decision?
From the Tacoma Arts Commission? I don't believe so. I think you guys have done what you can to push it to where it is now, which is where we need it to be, which is the resolution. So it's just keeping on, I'll be, you know, connecting with Kim and making sure we get it on the...
If I was to guess, it'd probably be the first Tuesday in February. That's what we'd be looking at. A couple people show up, testify, be thankful, just to show them that it's, you know, got the support.
First Tuesday?
That's my guess. Amy will update, I'm sure, when we actually choose it. But I was expecting it in January, but it's caught up. 27th is already very full, so I would not recommend putting it on the 27th, actually, just to allow it to get its own attention.
And advocate, I guess.
Social media, foster the conversation on social media and have it talk to local artists and say, yeah, it'd be cool for the local, but let's get it there.
It's not about putting anything, it's about getting the world's largest wall.
Do you like art? Here is some we could have.
Is there a salient link we can share on social media that we could find?
It's short and sweet.
Exit 133 has a nice little blurb they did several years ago. Just Google it. You'll see some local. The News Tribune. They've all done some, so kind of scan a couple.
That's where I was hoping for the Stevich message. Something short and sweet that gets people off this thing of, oh my God, $5 million or $3 million or whatever it is.
Have we done the latest art count?
We're working on it. Well, we can get something like that. I don't know if it can happen immediately, but I think once we start rolling, it's going to be really important. There's a citizens, or it's Andy Warhol or something, Facebook page, I'll try to see if I can think of something that's shareable.
And that page would have shared the most recent, like Exit 133 and other articles that have come about in the last 6 to 12 months, so just scrolling down through that page, you'd be able to find a number of them.
Yeah, I've seen those links. I'm just wondering which one is the most kind of give us the best message to share.
I'll go through them again myself and take a look and see if maybe
the most. And probably when we pass it, newspaper will cover it again. It may not necessarily be the best message.
Some kind of pithy meme or something.
Does the city manager still meet weekly with the publisher or the editor at the Tribune?
No.
Oh.
The News Tribune, they only want to write about us. They don't want to get to know us.
Corpus? What's his name?
They write about us. If they
Ray Corpus used to have.
Every week.
Days are over.
Yes.
Okay.
Especially since the little bags started showing up on everyone's.
Little bags?
Okay, so stay tuned. I'll keep you informed as to what the next steps are as soon as we have a resolution date, et cetera, and if there's anything clear to share.
If I may share one more item. Conversation came up. We're going to do it tomorrow, but I think it's been pushed back a week. But we're working on a resolution at council to, I don't know all the details on this, another council member is bringing it forward, establish for marketing and branding reasons, a theater district in Tacoma, centered around 9th and Broadway. Initially, it had very strict borders, but now we're looking at a centered area. Yes, Tracy.
I actually went to the Downtown Merchants Group meeting last week, and there was a brief conversation with Ryan Mello, who is also not the council member who is bringing it forward. It's Robert Toms, but just a discussion. And it helped me to understand what they were talking about, because it's one of those things where you look at it and you think, why are you bringing this up now? However, when they were originally doing the North Downtown plan, it was an intended part of that plan, and it somehow got left out. So the intention with that plan, there was some movement in the stadium business district. They wanted it to go to a certain point. They got that into the plan. And then there was also an intention of having everything south of where the stadium business district ended
to a certain point.
We're talking like 11th, but natural boundary would be 13th. That's yeah. some of the, and so, you actually want boundaries or just pick a zone, and so yeah. that's where it's kind of caught up in, but just
yes.
of possible note to.
But they had a really terrific phrase that I liked, which was cultural footprint. That was the word that Ryan used. And I didn't hear that when they were doing the North Downtown plan, but that was the word that they were using now, that they would like to have the theater district named so that it could be part of the cultural footprint of downtown, which I thought was a good idea.
Is that not already the case?
It's not an official name. It's got a different name, actually, in the city planning documents. It's not called the theater district. It's called, I don't remember.
Downtown, central core area.
North downtown, or
yeah,
yeah. It's not romantic. It's not exciting.
Right. The biggest hiccup where I'm right now is it's over the area that's Opera Alley, Antique Row, part of Stadium District, part of Downtown Merchant, part of several other business.
The Triangle.
Groups. Yeah, the Triangle District. Yeah. And so, does this supplant all those? Does it? How does a lot of that work out? That's what's just being worked through.
Right.
At one point, they were talking codifying it. And yeah, we're just like, no. took 18 months just to get the other neighborhood district. So, got to make sure we get it right. But the bigger picture is we're going to officially have a theater district. And that's when you kind of look at theater district area, which it's been informally called, more formally called coming forward.
That's what it was called when they got the financing to fix it all up decades ago.
That's what the Link Stop's called. Theater districts. I mean, so it's been called that, but yeah. this will more formally do it. We just need to understand a little bit more how the back end is going to work.
Thanks for bringing that up.
Do you know, Amy, in Seattle they recently named like the Act and the Fifth Avenue. I don't think it's a theater district like a city planning, but it's like a historic theater district. Mm-hmm. It's not so much a planning thing as just a cultural historic designation.
Because now they're working to try to identify arts districts more formally up there. Concurrently with the theater district, although they're not coming forward with a resolution, the museum district /UWT/waterfront are working together to try to do joint marketing of their area, so the timing is good. I mean, we're lucky because we have these places that make sense to people. And now I think people are saying, okay, what are our assets? How do we capitalize on this? How do we take it to the next level? We need to get people here participating. So, yeah, it's pretty exciting. I forgot to pass these around. so this is just the roster.
Is that number 4 on the list?
Yeah, I know, exactly. Yeah, I passed it up. check your name and your address and make sure your email's right for you want us to send you information as people we fund send us stuff. We like to know whether you want it to be sent to you or screen share things and stuff. And then a couple of thank you letters from people we funded. Any other questions or comments on the formal group?
Thank you everyone for your support. I think we will make this happen.
Great. Yeah. Okay, so Arts Commission retreat. We have one every year, usually end up landing in March. So we'd like you to think about dates and times that could work for you. It is something we do on a Saturday to give us some time to actually sit in with each other. It's a combination of getting to know each other better, particularly this year with so many new faces on the commission. And to do some sort of longer range planning of, you know, are we on the right track? Are there initiatives we want to be doing? Are we, you know, things we want to pause? Which never happens. But wanted to throw it out today for you to see if there are things you want to be sure get covered. If you don't have it right now, we certainly have time for you to tell us what you want to know. We can do some basic, you know, background stuff for those of you who are new and refreshers for those of you who've been here.
Sure. So the retreat, I think I've done at least 5 of them, and they've all been different. we tend to try to pick a focus. Since we only have a few hours, we know everybody's busy. We want to get some concrete directional work done, but at the same time, we don't want to be super specific and set, SMART goals or anything like that. What we're really working on is the direction of the commission for the year. So we have talked about exploring other fundraising options. We have talked about what our services to the community should be. We have talked about past successes and how we can build on them. So we've also had kind of more technical ones where we just get into this is what the ordinance is and how does this relate to you as a commissioner. So do you have thoughts on a focus for this year? Is there something that you're going, I need more information on this, or I would really like to see us talk about this? We don't want to keep you for 3 hours and feed you lunch and not feel like you got anything but lunch for the session.
I don't know, maybe what can we do better? How can we?
Yes, I mean, of course, that's the intention.
More, maybe it's a brainstorming session. You know, what can we be doing better?
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the ways I think maybe to see what we can do better is to look at all the things we do. And there are lots of really cool things that we do that that will lead to, you know, oh, let's tweak this a little bit or that, you know, or whatever. I think that would be valuable.
I think the work around like Arts Month, for example, was helpful to be able to say, well, it took us a couple years to kind of get to it, but I think, which was fine, you know, it's just taking a while, but making that decision and looking at it.
What about topics, specific topics, like focusing on an action list of things that we can actually get involved in, like being proactive in the Warhol debate, or in finding out more about tax revenue and how, you know, what are ways that we could feasibly make that possible? I know when we met in Olympia on Art Day and we're talking with various different legislators or whatever, time that I went, which wasn't last year, there was one legislator who wanted to raise the tax to 10%, and that's just not feasible. I mean, even I'm the one wanting funding to be open, and I'm thinking that's not going to, you hit 10%, that's a wall, that's not going to work. So there has to be, and property taxes are, you know, the state budget right now is just ridiculously constrained. And so it would be interesting to look at what's realistic from somebody, maybe a speaker who could talk to us about revenue generation.
Well, something I've been thinking about a lot lately, I've had a few conversations about creative space and the current creative space providers and potential space providers, and just the level of success that's required for an artist to be able to use those creative spaces. Should creative space be provided free so that anyone can use it, or how do we develop a tier of artists that can afford to have better space? And I thought that was a really interesting topic, and just to think about how can we support our arts community to have our artists be successful enough to afford better space. That was not an angle that I had looked at the problem from before, and I found it to be a very good question.
I have a suggestion or idea of something, an area I'd like to explore. It was something that Councilman David Bowe brought up, and it had to do with looking outside of Tacoma and working with internationally with international sister cities and maybe their art places and seeing if there could be some crossovers mm-hmm. with that. I thought that that was a great idea and a way to get the local artists here out into a greater audience and also have us receive, you know, artists from other areas that we may not be familiar with.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And some of these might end up being sessions here, you know, but because I can have our sister cities coordinated from talking as we figure out, but maybe figuring out ways to best do that. That's a good idea.
I did that once with Vlad Vostok.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there was an exchange through the Museum of Glass, too. They had two artists come from France, and then they sent the Hot Shop team to Biot, which is one of our sister cities.
Mm-hmm. Cool. I'm usually, like, vaguely associated with it, but, you know, it hasn't been real.
I think they can use the invigoration, because when the sister cities start, they're all excited. And then after years go by, they need mm-hmm. things like this to
as a cultural exchange
continual yeah. cultural exchange
because that could apply to any art field that, you know
mm-hmm. Well, Brian, didn't you go somewhere
mm-hmm. yeah in 2009 we performed for the Taichung Jazz Festival
right and I was like what you're sending artists places and I don't even know about it yeah so we can definitely make this connect a little more connected one year we did a call to local artists for artist products because they bring gifts to other countries and that was kind of a nice way but I think that's dwindled. I mean that's a little thing but still you know it's a way to mm-hmm. share our local talent with
because one way for artists to afford better spaces is if they have the audience to purchase their artwork
yes and, yeah so yeah and I think we've also talked about that a bit is how can we build our patron base. And I think that's a good question, too, because we certainly have a lot of creatives, and we want to nurture them as much as possible, but it is a challenge to do so without enough patrons to support them.
It's an ongoing challenge in Tacoma, but I'm sure it's endemic throughout the world now. It's hard to promote things locally. It just is. And because things are changing, and that might be something to address, because that's kind of a drag on the art scene is that it's hard to get the word out to people about what's going on because communication is so fractured and it's so narrow-casted and people have their blinders, electronic digital blinders on all the time. So it's really hard to get the word out as to what is actually happening effectively. So that might be a topic of discussion.
I remember you talked about that when we first met, but like this crazy idea about an art app that had to do with locally that people could have. And since
as long
making
as people
apps
use it.
Are sort of somewhat becoming a little easier, I don't know a lot about the technology, but I feel like something like that maybe could be helpful. I don't know.
Could be.
What about the thing that happens during Art Work Month? Did you feel like that's kind of what you would like to see more of?
Yeah, that was helpful. But it's getting people engaged, getting our population engaged in the arts. That is the wider population. Because we have art lovers, and we have a certain core of people that are very engaged. But it only goes so far, and it's not enough to really sustain the level of productivity that we're talking about in order to afford different space or to expand what you're doing. Unless you can expand it locally. And so how do we expand the reach of the arts in our community? How do we make people aware of what's going on? It is a huge challenge.
I think that we have actually explored that topic at a past retreat. So maybe we could revisit our notes from that one and bring something forward. Yeah, I don't think we're going to have the solutions in the past, but I think that it's always good to refresh on what we've already discussed on
it's
that topic.
It's an always evolving topic. It's always going to be changing, and it's always going to need some attention because if we're not getting the word out to the community or to our citizens, then we're kind of falling flat because mm-hmm. that's why we're here.
We saw that a lot in arts projects. The funding panel that we did a year two years ago now, or was it just a year now?
We did one in December.
But, I just remember JD and I left that panel going, golly, all these projects that we've read, and they're really exciting, and no one knows about them. Mm-hmm. And we don't see, you know, marketing budgets attached to the proposals, and so not that it's the organization's fault, but it's this, like, how do we as a community invest in that communication portion of these arts happenings, and how can we as a commission support that, not just for funded projects, but for anything that's happening
all
in Tacoma? How can we, how can we do that better, to use Sarah's terminology?
Yeah, so that sounds like a really good thing to put to talk about.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's in line. I mean, we've been talking about it, and I think we try really
hard. It comes up every year.
We cast the net all the time. Like, how are we, who aren't we reaching? How do we reach them? But I'm curious, and I've sort of poked my nose a little more forcefully into the racial or social equity and empowerment initiative that the city's starting. They're going to have a whole office. So, you know, I want to be in lockstep with what the city's initiatives are with that, and if there are ways that they can help us, or, you know, I'm all for it. But I also want us to be, you know, whether that was happening or not, I think it's a value of this commission to always keep trying to do that. So I think that's a great idea.
Yeah.
It's the never-ending story, but and,
for sure.
And like Scott says, it's, even with the digital era, now people are getting blind to that stuff too. Like, how do you, and even if somebody sees something, how do you actually get them to engage? Or, I mean, you can never sit on our laurels and say, oh, we tried that, it didn't work, and okay, why not?
Right. There's a couple of tiers to that. You know, there's, if we're talking about arts as destination arts, you know, the Warhol Dome would be perfect for that. It really brands us as a destination arts center. But it doesn't brand arts that are intended for our local citizens in the same way, right? And so, and I think that a lot of the blowback from local artists about the Warhol exhibit or Warhol Dome is that's great for destination arts and for raising the profile, but how does that help me afford better space?
Yes.
How does that help me, right? And I think it does. I'm not saying it doesn't. I think it does, but we need those direct connections that really help people connect to the arts in this city. And I think that's something we need to work on.
So let's do one of those. Let's see what we're doing to connect now and see where the gaps are and see what we can do.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if there's a research opportunity, like an academic element to this. You know, we do the audience survey. Is it yearly, every other year?
That's what happened in 2016. You give your heads up.
Yeah.
Of economic prosperity.
I wonder if there's another level to that research, though, not just the amount of spending that happens every year, but, you know, how can we shift a little more within our community? How do we use that data or get additional data on top of what we gather in that to understand our community a little bit better mm-hmm. and how they not only hear about these events, but how do they hear about anything? And,
right.
You know, what's the cost associated with, you know, creating a profile on those ways and who manages it, and I just wonder if there's some digging.
I like that.
Digger
deeping.
Whatever
digger
I'm trying
that's
to say. If you could dig deeper.
Daughter would say.
Digging of deeperness.
There we go. However it is that you would say that properly.
Dig deep to a sister city.
I like digger
deeping. Yeah.
I'm wondering too if there aren't some related industries that will have such a huge impact on Tacoma and its ability to grow the arts and bring people in and enable artists to sell their work, because there are a greater density of customers mm-hmm. that we could start maybe working a little bit with the city with, not just staying in our own little silo. I mean, personally, I think the biggest challenge that this city will have is transportation. If we don't enable greater avenues of transportation, if we don't enable, like, people in Manhattan wanting to go to Brooklyn, why can't we be enabling transportation all day long bring people in here do it. You know, there are related things that are going to have such a huge impact on this town and its ability to draw on people to live here, draw on potential customers, draw on potential donors, draw on potential industries that will support the arts.
Right.
Just, are there things like that, that you know, we don't want to be in a little silo of, okay, we're doing everything we can, but there's this huge thing mm-hmm. out there that has maybe nothing initially to do with the arts, but it will have a huge impact on our ability to do anything.
I think that's part of the research I'd like
yeah.
to dig deeper into.
Back.
No, but I mean, understanding the
transportation
barriers,
will be
understanding
transportation
that,
will
yeah.
be huge if we can't get people out of their car, if we can't enable people to get out of their cars and get here from all over the place, you know, how can we begin to ponder that as well?
Well, it sounds like we've got quite a bit of good stuff for the retreat, Todd.
How do you want to settle on a date? How does March look for people? I can't figure out how to do it before then. So,
early March, late March.
It's a Saturday, right?
Yeah, usually
early-ish. So we have the 7th, the 14th, the 21st, and the 28th.
Are we talking date time?
It's yeah. Saturday.
Like
March.
10 to 5-ish?
10 to 3.
10 to 3.
Middle to later would be better for my calendar, but
when does spring break happen?
28.
Yeah.
Okay.
So maybe mid. Wow. So the 21st potentially?
Oh, not during spring
well,
break.
Is it the 21st or the 28th or is
no,
the 28th the first Saturday 28th of
28th to April 5th.
Oh, okay.
Yes. So
21st is good.
Okay.
Really spring good. Equinox.
That would be good, yeah. New beginnings.
Could we impose upon Frank Toby Jones again, Sarah? Or we could find another spot too. Or
we can. I can certainly check. Yeah.
Could we can be the backup too?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You might. Maybe you might want a little.
Want to switch it up?
Switch it up.
Not to steal your location.
No, no,
I didn't
no.
mean that.
I mean, you've been coming.
We're happy
Jones.
To be the Plan B or the Plan A. If that's
we're happy to host it, but you've been coming to the Jones for,
because we love it.
I know.
You're so
it's a
wonderful.
Good room.
You know, yeah, yeah. Or, don't know, I don't
want to. I was just offering to be a Plan B.
It's nice to have two great options.
Okay, so we'll go first with Toby Jones. And
sure. So we're thinking 21st?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll put it out to the full commission. When is Naomi coming back from Mexico?
Next week.
Okay, so maybe we could get her to send out an email that says tentatively scheduled. Let us know if you have strong objections.
Yeah. Okay, great.
Okay. So, are we done with our retreat conversation? No, thank you. Everybody for your participation in that. If you have more ideas, please send them to Amy, Naomi, the full commission, whoever you think might benefit from them. And I think we can move on to advocacy reports. Has anybody done anything stimulating in the political realm?
That's an interesting way to put it.
It was the holiday.
That's right.
I did not anticipate a long report in that area. So, arts events attended?
Let's hear it.
Well, I did go to quite a few arts events because of, you know, Christmas. Things have been pretty slow since Christmas, but you know, Tacoma Youth Symphony, just went to a chamber concert they presented last night. They had 17 different quartets and quintets, woodwinds, brass, and string, from all ages, from about 10 to 18. Very nice. The Youth Symphony always seems to do good programs. And went to the Art Museum to see their new wing. I'm very impressed with that. Trying to think. I guess this would have been in maybe the previous report that I didn't mention. went to the Christmas tree lighting, and that bothered me, all right? Because always they have a movie or some sort of presentation before the tree lighting, and then the program ends, you go outside, watch them light the tree. This year, by the time the program ended, the tree was lighted and the ceremony was over. So, really? So they need to coordinate what they're doing a little better. The theater was filled, and so a lot of people did not get to see or hear the tree lighting program.
Is that run by Broadway Center, the tree lighting?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, but a lot of wonderful programs right now going on. Classical Tuesdays in Old Town. They're meeting tomorrow for another program with not all, but some of the quartets and quintets that played for the Tacoma Youth Symphony, doing a repeat of the program. So if you want to see it, I would say go ahead. It's free and very good. So.
Thank you, Don. Mm-hmm. Anyone else have?
I saw Tacoma Rebels. The Puget Sound Rebels, their Christmas Rebels, and it was delightful.
Good. Yeah,
just delightful.
Oh, first night also.
First night.
Yes, yeah, I was anticipating that report. Anybody have something at first night that they were particularly excited by?
Oh, Pearl Django was very good. Nearly filled the Rialto Theater. Mm. So there were a lot of people there. Theater on the Square was being used by the School of the Arts, I believe, and I never could get in there. Obviously, parents, I guess, were filling it, but it was always filled every time I tried to get into it. And so I think they had a pretty good attendance this year. Did not rain, so it was a...
I bet it was entertaining.
Yeah. Lots of nice groups to go around and listen to. So I've always enjoyed First Night. And I was running back and forth from one location to another trying to hear everything.
Did it seem like the attendance was pretty good?
You know, on something like that, it's really difficult to tell. But as I said, Pearl Django, I would guess that the Rialto was probably 80%. So was the Rialto, 900s? Yeah. So
that's pretty good.
It's not a huge crowd, but pretty good. Yeah. I mentioned Theater on the Square being filled. That's 300.
Yeah.
So
for several different times, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And also the Knights of Pythian auditorium, it was filled a couple of times I tried to get into it.
Sounds like a success.
So, Tacoma Youth Theater is right in the footprint, and we did a program for the first time, and it was kind of a late entry, but it was packed for every session.
Great.
Good.
So, and that was good.
Yeah. Cool. Good
deal. Any other arts events attended?
Why are you looking at me?
Because I know that you've been performing in several. So.
Does that count? Or well, we did the Museum of Glass is having a jazz brunch series, and we played their first one, and they said it was sold out. So,
hey.
So they're pairing like a special breakfast menu with jazz, and then the ticket admission gets you the concert, and then also admission to the museum all day, and they said it was sold out. So that was. I was working the first night, so I didn't see Pearl Jam. But we were on the other side at Hotel Morano, and that was busy.
Okay.
I saw a couple of good concerts with local groups on 6th Avenue. I haven't seen much, just working. Yeah. I didn't realize that counts.
That does count.
Okay. I would have never heard of that before, so it's
okay, all right. Any future agenda items for consideration? No? All right, I will take that silence as a no and say that this meeting is adjourned. Thank you all for your participation.
Don't talk till I turn the thing off.